from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. Hey, it's Chloe. August 15th. 10 stories, 1 trial, 3 reviews, 6 takes you can actually use. Let's get into it. First, from New Atlas. Tiny e-truck does real work, tows more than Ford and Toyota pickups. How does a mini electric truck that's barely longer than a Mini Cooper tow more than most modern-day pickup trucks twice its size? I'm talking about the Tiguan T1, the compact truck that was already on par with most midsize gas trucks in terms of its towing capacity. Category: automotive, transport tags. Electric vehicles, pickup, truck, electric truck, Cybertruck, Ford Tacoma compact. Next, second from Fize.org. After commercial whaling nearly erased them, blue and fin whales are slowly reclaiming the Southeast Atlantic. More than 40 years after the end of commercial whaling, new research reveals a recent increase in sightings of the world's two largest whale species in the southeastern Atlantic. The findings, published in the African Journal of Marine Science, compiled more than 60 years of confirmed sightings and strandings from Namibia and South Africa's west coast. Although overall numbers remain low, sightings of both species have increased markedly in recent years, with 95% of observations recorded since 2012. Up next, third from Science Alert. Dark matter may have a secret extra force that doesn't work the way we expect. The paper is a theoretical analysis that plugs a simple extra force model for dark matter into the standard cosmology equations and then checks the results against measurements of the cosmic microwave background and the large scale distribution of galaxies. If dark matter particles pulled on each other with an additional attractive force, you'd expect structures to form faster. The authors point out that the same force also makes the particles' effective mass shrink as the universe expands, which thins out the overall dark matter density. Those two effects nearly cancel, so the extra force doesn't make the universe noticeably clumpier. The calculations even allow for a very weak hidden interaction, but fitting it into existing data would require tweaking the amount of dark energy. Heme isn't dismissing the idea outright. They just show that any such force must be tiny and that more detailed, nonlinear simulations will be needed before we can tell if it's really there. And then, fourth from Science Alert, GLP-1s may be working in an entirely different way than we thought. Research on semaglutide weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy suggests they work in a more complex way than previously thought. While appetite suppression is a known effect, a new study in mice found that the long-term weight loss effects of semaglutide depend on brain cells called hunger neurons remaining functional. These neurons, known as AGRP neurons, help regulate energy balance and aren't just about promoting hunger. Disrupting their function in female mice weakened the drug's weight-lowering effects, even though they continued to eat less. This suggests that semaglutide's full effect can't be explained by reduced food intake alone, and that the mobilization of stored energy from fat tissue is also important. Further studies are needed to confirm these findings in humans, but the discovery could help explain why people respond differently to the same drug and guide the development of more effective treatments. Next, if from Bryant McGill, uploading is imminent. Beyond that, the article leans on a long thread of speculative work, Kurzweil's early inventions, Costco's fuzzy logic arguments, and later singularity forecasts, none of which provide empirical data on mine, the uploading. The author points out that the terminology has shifted from fringe to mainstream, but the underlying technology's whole brain annihilation, durable neural interfaces remain unproven and largely theoretical. So, while the narrative feels confident, the actual scientific footing is still thin. A conceptual design paper plus decades of speculative essays, not a validated trial or meta-analysis. Up next, 6 from Dead Hidden. Jesus has a number. A new perspective on numbers in the Bible. Researchers have found that in ancient Greek and Hebrew, letters are used to represent numbers, a concept known as gematria. This means that every word in the Bible can be broken down into a numerical value. When we apply this to the name Jesus in Greek Isis, we get 10 plus 8 plus 2, 100 plus 70 plus 4, 100 plus 2, 100 equals 888. This is significant because 8 is often associated with new beginnings and completion, contrasting with the number 666, which represents man falling short of perfection. This concept has been tracked by scholars for centuries, with some, like Bullinger, dedicating books to exploring the numerical patterns in the Bible. And then, 7th from Commonplace Philosophy. Tonight, discussion call for techniques and civilization. Hey there, tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, there's a Zoom call to dive into the opening chapters of Lewis Mumford's asterisk Techniques and Civilization asterisk. Jared Henderson is hosting, and it's a relaxed small group chat, perfect if you've been meaning to unpack Mumford's take on how tools shape society. If you can't hop on live, no worries, the recording will be posted right after the call, so you can listen whenever it fits your schedule. It's a good chance to hear different perspectives and maybe pick up a few ideas for your own reading. Just click the Zoom link in the invitation, join the conversation, and feel free to bring any questions or thoughts you've had about the text. Looking forward to seeing you there. Next, 8th from The Ghost. Behind the scenes of a six-figure book deal. I'm not trying to claim my path is the only one. I've spent 2 decades watching and learning from other writers, and I want to pass those nuggets on to you. The aim is to demystify the whole publishing maze so you don't feel like you're flying blind the way I did when I first started. If you're dreaming of a book, these episodes should give you concrete checkpoints and a realistic sense of what's involved. Each audio essay will answer the questions that pop up most often: what agents actually look for, how a manuscript gets polished, and what a six-figure advance really means in practice. I'll also share the missteps I made, because those are often the most useful lessons. Looking forward to diving into this with you. Up next, 9th from Play Makes Us Human, #124, Restoring Childhood, How to Set Kids Free in the Age of Anxiety. Peter's new book argues that childhood's core task, gaining independence, gets blocked by today's adult-driven schedules and intensive parenting. He leans on a mix of observational studies and meta-analyses showing that excess structured instruction, especially in preschool, correlates with higher anxiety and lower social confidence. The central claim is that free, unstructured play, both offline and online, builds courage, agency, and emotional regulation far more effectively than early academic pressure. He also suggests that treating teens as apprentices rather than infants helps both kids and parents, and that public spaces should welcome children rather than restrict them. He's promoting the book with a pre-order push, offering the introduction as a free preview for early supporters. And then, 10th from Farstellar, you've outgrown something and this eclipse sends you somewhere alive. I'm thinking of that Leo eclipse you've been watching. This one lands on the idea that a part of your life has stopped serving you. It's not about the astronomy. It's about the feeling that you've outgrown a role, a habit, or a relationship that once felt right but now feels like a costume you've outgrown. The suggestion is simple. Cut the tie, step out, and let yourself feel truly alive again, not just drifting. The pattern is familiar. Eclipses in this family show up roughly every 18 years, and the last one that mattered for me was in August 2008. Back then, the nodes sat in Leo and Aquarius, just like now, but the world was a different place. I remember that eclipse shifting my own path dramatically, so I keep the date on my calendar as a quiet marker. What matters for you is the present moment. If you sense that something you once loved now feels restrictive, this eclipse is a gentle nudge to acknowledge it and consider moving on. It's not a grand world-changing event, just a small personal prompt. Take a breath, notice what feels stuck, and give yourself permission to explore a new direction. You don't have to have all the answers now. The eclipse is simply lighting the way to a place where you can feel more alive. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storyflow.com.